We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. This is Focus, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Harriet Williamson is the producer, and Mike Pritchard is at the controls right at the moment. We will take a break from our continuing coverage of today's big breaking story, the resignation of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. We will be back with NPR News, National Public Radio News, at 12:01. At 12:06, we will rejoin the BBC for their continuing coverage. We did want to give you the opportunity that we started out with in the first hour of the show to make comments about the programming in on our stations. So we have brought back our managers, Mark Leonard, Jay Pierce, Kate Dubravolny, and we'll open up the phone lines here once again. We also do, again, want to take the opportunity to encourage you to support the station, and Jack Brighton is here in the studio as well.
Hello.
This is the 30th anniversary year for the show, Focus. And again, a programming note, the archives that we were going to air here, we were going to start in with regularly a couple times a month, airing some very old programs that we thought were kind of interesting. So we'll do that again in 2 weeks. We'll try to get back on our regular schedule. In the meantime, what we want people to do is to support the station.
Amen, David. And, you know, I just wanted to point out that because you were listening to this station, you knew the moment that Mubarak stepped down in Egypt, basically, you know, within moments, put it that way. And we decided to interrupt our regular program to bring you that news. We felt that it was very important, and I think probably most of you do as well, to understand what's going on. The point being that this is something that we need you to support, this kind of effort that we do in public broadcasting, WILL, Focus 580, all the great programs you hear, the BBC, the NPR News, etc., need your support with your pledge call right now to 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org. It'll just take you a minute. We are halfway to our goal of 300 calls to our pledge line or to willpledge.org during this three-day mini drive. Okay, I can count. We're halfway there. That is really good news, folks. We've heard from a lot of people, but we need to get the other halfway. So we need your support right now. Again, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
All right. Now, let me give you another number. If you would like to call in and make comments about the programs you hear on our station, we'd be happy to take those. And the number, if you're in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, is 333-9455. We have a toll-free line, 800-222-9455. You may send us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. If you call to call in on the show, no one will grab you on the way to shake you down for a pledge. We would, of course, like to have your support. It is not required. You want to call in and talk with our guests to do that. And again, here in the studio with me, we have Mark Leonard. He's our general manager for Illinois Public Media. Jay Pierce, he's director of created content. And Kate Dobrovolny, she is our station manager. And we have a couple of people lined up here. And again, I know that somewhere in the course of the hour that you all would definitely like to talk about funding issues. But we have callers ready to go. We will not make them wait. We'll get right back at it and start with someone in Chicago on our toll-free line, line four. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. I found this very interesting. I was in the first hour, so I understand why you had to cut everything off. I have one or two questions. One is I wondered why you didn't bring Rich Warren back after the Consumer Electronics Show ended.
I think it was just because we had Rich on late last year, and we will have him back on sometime fairly soon to do the consumer electronics.
I don't think
thing.
He went this year.
Well, he hasn't been going in a long time, but I know he keeps up with what happens, he's as much as anybody I know, he keeps track of what's going on with consumer electronics.
And, I wondered about that because I know you usually have him on right after the show, and this year you didn't have him, so I was just curious as to why that happened. First, I thought something got past me, but I guess I'm safe.
We'll have him. We'll see if sometime in the next couple months we can have him on the show.
Okay, that's fine. Now, the second thing I wanted to talk about was on Sunday morning, you have a show called Inside Europe, Mm-hmm. I believe you still have it. It's on 6 o'clock. Now, I'm in Chicago, which means that in the wintertime I don't get to hear it unless I have a computer, which I don't. But I was wondering if you consider moving that, having a rebroadcast on that. You could maybe take an hour off from Tavis Smiley. I understand he isn't doing that well. So I just want to comment on that. That would be one of the things.
Mm. Okay. Well, I don't know. You guys want to talk about that?
Well, thank you. Yes, we appreciate all the listener input. We, of course, every time you move a show to a new slot, then that show goes away for somebody else that loves that show. So we appreciate the comments, and we'll take those into consideration.
Yeah, because that is a good show. And by the way, whatever happened to Only a Game? Is that still on?
Mm-mm. Well,
no,
they still do. The show is
still
in,
it,
it's still
in production, but we're not running it.
Oh, I see, because I know you used to carry that, mm-hmm. and I just wondered what happened with that.
It didn't get much of an audience for us.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, you have this show, Inside Europe. I think it's a good show on Sunday morning. It's sort of like radio's version of 60 Minutes, in my opinion, sort of like NPR's version of that. And it's on at 6 o'clock, and like I said, because I live in Chicago, you don't come on until maybe 7:13 or 7:14 when you go to full power.
Right.
In the summertime, we'll be there for you.
Yeah, in the summertime, I can hear it, yeah. You know.
Well, you need to call Tori Malatia, our good friend at WBEZ, and go, Tori, you need to be covering carrying Inside Europe.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they do something that I think they, and that is they don't repeat the first hour of Weekend Edition, you know, the one where Will does the puzzle.
Yeah, the one that, yeah, we repeat that on Sunday.
And I know you guys do that, and there's a reason for that. If you overslept in that first hour, which happens to some of us, you can still catch the puzzle.
Yeah. So and we do it because, you know, people are, it's Sunday morning, some people go to church and miss it.
Yeah, that's right. And some people, like I said, oversleep or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, did you know that Leanne Hansen, she is coming to the end on that show? I think Memorial Day weekend is her last, last show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She talked about that a few months ago.
Yeah, she will be leaving the show, retiring, I guess.
That's right, yeah.
And we'll see who they come up with.
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. But anyway, I thought I would make those two things, and I know there are other people who want to do that. I'm sorry you don't carry the world twice on weekdays. But even if you did, I probably wouldn't be able to hear it.
You wouldn't be able to hear it. We used to do it at 7 o'clock, too, but you wouldn't be able to hear it.
So. That's right, because you cut back on your power.
Yeah.
The only way I can solve this problem, I guess, is to get a computer.
There you go. Yeah.
Or an internet radio.
Radio.
You don't have to buy a whole computer. For about $100, you can buy an internet radio, and then you can hear us on that.
Really? Do you need a computer for that?
Nope.
Now, you
need a broadband. High-speed broadband.
You need to have a connection, though. You need to have kind of a computer connection. No, a modem, yeah. If you need to have a computer connection, the same way you'd connect a computer, but this will do it without having to fire up a computer.
In other words, I don't need a computer to get internet radio.
No.
I thought I did.
No. Maybe your neighbor has wireless, and you can just kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I live in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure we have that.
If you can log on to wireless somehow, you could use one of these radios on
You can listen to... is it the same thing where you can hear stations from all over the world?
Yep.
Wow, I got to call gotta call Best Buy and see if they have something like that.
Yep.
Where you don't need the computer.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
But you do have to have some kind of computer connection, whether it's a wireless or wired connect, same way you'd connect with a computer. So.
Yeah. All right. We have some other callers here. We'll go next to Urbana, line one here. Hello.
Was that line one?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling. I've been hearing the, 170 million .org commercials, and I was wondering how the funding in Congress is going in terms of have they really even started in on that, or
there are six bills currently pending, differing bills saying different things. And we expect that probably this will turn into a full discussion next week in the House. Regarding right now one bill that's proposed to eliminate funding for public broadcasting in fiscal year 2013. So We expect that that will be the first of several or many bills introduced to reduce or eliminate funding for public broadcasting, and that's why that website, we have been promoting it, is so that you and other people who are concerned about public broadcasting can get current information and what you can do to let your voice be known.
Yeah, I what do you know what the percentage of the funding for PBS or NPR or whatever, what percentage of the budget it is?
It is the total CPB appropriation that they are proposing to eliminate is $530-some million annually. And that translates to $1.35 per person per year. Total federal support for public broadcasting. What percentage in the overall budget? I do not have that figure, but it's a very, very, very tiny amount.
That was my point. It's like, we're spending way too much money, so I'm going to stop buying bubble gum to, balance so I can pay my rent or whatever, and it's like, get a clue, cut something, make a real effort rather than just, we don't like what NPR is saying. We don't agree with what they're saying, so we'll cut their budget.
Well, we are hoping that people will exercise their right to express their opinions and call their legislators and let them know what your wishes are in terms of priorities. Federal funding is a very tiny amount. It is the seed money that makes possible all of the programs that you listen to on public radio. It helps to produce the local programs like Focus and, that we do every single day. An elimination of federal funding would jeopardize the existence of public broadcasting and the existence of WILL. We're hoping that that is understood by the people who do care about public radio and public television.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Very good. Thank you. We'll continue, and next we'll talk with someone in Iroquois County, line number 2. Hello.
Yes. I'm interested in knowing if even there are some cuts, not a total elimination of the thing, what steps you are taking as contingency to change your programming to accommodate them, because I think that this is something that perhaps you might get more support from your viewers from if you made known up front. I personally found that the way that the elimination of the weather was handled was rather poor. I think that kind of said that, this is a business, should have been supporting it. Well, weather, for instance, I think everybody should support that, which kind of leads back to our caller in the last hour who was saying what we can do to get more support. And you're going to always have people, whether children are in sports or they listen to public radio or whatever, who just want to ride on the backs of other people. And there's unfortunately not much can be done about that part of society. But I think if things are known up front as to where possible cuts might be done, perhaps you might get more support for those things than feeling like, because these things are not decided overnight. They're thought out over months or even maybe a year or so in advance. And I think that would be beneficial and good PR.
So you're saying for different levels of cuts in federal funding, what would that look like at the local level?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I think that since what's on the table right now is an elimination of funding, what we're saying is we would not exist after that point. I mean, that question has been called in terms of the legislation that is pending. It may or may not pass next week. I don't think we can predict anything. If it does not pass, then we will probably be talking about different levels of cuts, and we can respond more specifically. But right now, the one that is facing us is an elimination of funding.
Part of the problem in predicting is not knowing what NPR will look like and what PBS will look like, depending upon the levels of cuts. And when Mark talks about this elimination, here's the deal. The money that comes from Corporation for Public Broadcasting, they talk about it's only 2% of NPR's budget. They can surely make that up somewhere. But that's not the whole story. The whole story is that Corporation for Public Broadcasting grants money, and these are grants that we have to every year qualify for, grants money to local stations like WILL. Then we pay dues to NPR and PBS, and then we buy programs from them, and that's where PBS and NPR get the bulk of their money to create the programs and deliver the programs. And so you can see how the whole system is interrelated. If the federal funding is cut, the whole system falls apart. And so there's no way really for us to sit down and predict what at various levels NPR would look like or PBS would look like, because we don't know personally here at WILL what shape all of the other stations in the system are in. We don't know if they would continue to exist to be able to contribute to this cooperative that makes PBS and NPR work. So you can see how it'd be really difficult to try to sit down and do that. But as a system, I'm sure we will. In fact, we have another conference call at noon today talking about this with the NPR, PBS, and CPB. So we'll do our best. It's not quite the same as the cuts in state funding that we went through last year.
I have another question regarding, I read somewhere that L.A. station is like going to drop out of the...
They have dropped out. KCET is no longer a PBS member station.
Okay. How does that work? Because, like, the BBC, for instance, I watch BBC in the evening. I like watching the BBC and the business nightly news and that sort of thing while I'm cooking. And I believe that at least some of that is brought or is sent out via them. How does that work?
That's a distribution agreement that they have, and they will continue, we understand, to distribute some programming to PBS stations. But they are no longer paying PBS a membership fee and a programming fee for PBS program content. They are now a non-commercial independent station that is buying its programs elsewhere. And what we have read in the trade papers is that as a result, their audience has now dropped by about 50%. Mm-hmm. So their survivability in this new model is definitely in question. And they have even talked about the possibility of returning to PBS in the future.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Well, here this morning in this hour of Focus, we're doing one of those shows we call Talk to the Managers. And our guests here are Mark Leonard. He's our general manager. Kate Dobrovolny, she's our station manager. Jay Pierce, he's the director of Created Content. And it's an opportunity to... make comments about shows that you hear on the station. Ask questions about funding or programming decisions. 333-9455. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. You can also email will-talk@illinois.edu. Let's go to Belgium. Line 4. Hello.
Hello, and good morning, you all.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Inge, I've been talking with you now a good chunk of your 30 years.
Yeah?
probably 20-some years of it now.
Yeah?
And I noticed myself in a lot of your archives and stuff, obviously. And I've been through this with you guys now for a long time. And for the life of me, I can't understand why you folks don't consider a paradigm that's already existing. You know, on your television station, you get very, very close to commercials programs to generate money. You do it pretty often through the years. It gets fairly close to a commercial situation. Why not let's just call a duck and start having some commercials?
I think it's because the law says we can't.
Isn't that right?
It's that, but also the advertising-supported model is not working now for commercial stations. The decline in advertising revenue has been precipitous over the last couple of years. So maybe 10 years ago, that might have been a viable option. And I think, you know, WTTW and some other stations did push the boundaries between underwriting and commercial announcements. But right now, I would not say it's a very attractive business to be in.
And can I ask a question? Then Fox Network's not making money with commercials? CBS doesn't make money with commercials?
They're making a lot less money, and in fact, the cutbacks that have occurred throughout the country, especially at the local station level, have been huge over the last 2 years.
Yeah. I see.
And then look at the demographics. The people who prefer public radio, and I'll talk about public radio because that's what we're on right now, don't want 20 minutes of commercials every hour. They want that 20 minutes of content and are willing to abide by
three or four, 10 or 15 second acknowledgments of a corporate donation to get that. And so maybe given no alternative, they would still stay tuned, but I don't know. All of the research indicates that they prefer being able to hear a 45-minute interview, not a 25-minute interview with 10 to 15 minutes and 20 minutes of commercials peppered throughout it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Here, I tell you what, why don't we pause for a moment here to do something and remind people that the reason we don't have commercials is we have listener support. How about that? This is one of just a couple of times during the year that we do other than the programming. What we here want to do, we want to do the shows. I want to do talk shows. I want to do interviews. I'd rather not be spending my time asking people for support. But we do it because it's one of the best ways we have of getting out the message and of encouraging people who listen but don't support to come into the organization, come into the family. So we're taking a couple of days here to encourage people to financially support the station, which means making a pledge, sending us some money that helps us produce programming. Very clear and very simple. So if you listen to WILL and you say, well, yeah, focus is important to me, all things considered is important, the market reports are important, you know, whatever your favorite shows are, these are programs that need your financial support. And it's real easy to do. You can call us, you can go online, and now's a good time. And Jack Brighton is here in the studio with me. He's now heading up our web operation. For a long time, he was producer on this show.
Producer emeritus.
Producer emeritus, we like to say, yes.
That's my proudest title, I must say. We ask that you call our pledge line right now. Let me give that out to you. 217-244-9455. While we're just taking a pause for just a minute, our sponsor, the Common Ground Food Co-op, has increased their support this year for WILL. When you make a contribution to WILL today, Common Ground Food Co-op will contribute the cost of 6 meals to Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So that's an added benefit to your call right now to 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org. If you've never made a contribution before, now is a great time. Your pledge has twice the impact during this drive, and it's your participation right now that matters the most. And folks, I just want to point out that David Inge has been hosting this show now for almost 30 years, the same tenure as Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. Nobody's asking David to step down, though. We want to keep this show going. We can only do that with your support. I shouldn't joke about that, but it's really not a joke. David has a tremendous commitment professionally to this show and the community that surrounds the station here, I think, has long appreciated what we try to bring to dialogue, to discussion of important issues, to exploring all angles of things. And that's what public radio in general tries to do. That's something we try to do here at WILL as part of the community, to engage in those conversations. If that's important to you, your pledge right now is incredibly important. We're at 152 pledges on our way to 300. Please make yours the next one, 217-244-9455.
And I thank you. Our guests here, Mark Leonard, our general manager, Jay Pierce, our director of created content, Kate Dobrovolny, she's our station manager. And we are opening up the phone lines here and saying, well, if you have comments about the programs we broadcast on our stations, you have questions about programming decisions, you have something to say about the whole federal funding question, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. Let me just mention an email here for you all to hear. Someone writes, Media Matters with Bob McChesney is such an important radio program. Bob discusses topics related to media, democracy, and economy. No one else does, locally or nationally, as far as I know. I hope other listeners and WILL management realize and appreciate how valuable and important it is. Keep up the good work.
Great. I'll make sure that Bob gets that comment.
Yeah. We share the same feelings.
To the phones again. Matt Toon, line one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity to ask a question. I enjoy the classical music, the programs on 90.9 very much. But I really miss Riverwalk on Friday night. You just about ruined my Friday evening. And I wondered, what are the odds on getting a show like that back in the middle of all of our good classical stuff?
You know, that's a great question. We, as you know, we made some major changes to our format and scheduling last year. And I think most experts agree that you want to give that some time to catch on, and you don't want to make a lot of changes all at once. Most people would say a year or maybe even 2 years before you make some more major changes. I will tell you, though, that probably the thing that I hear most often about our changes is, can we bring back Friday night lineup on FM 90.9? And I think that we continue to look at that. We continue to appreciate your feedback, because we do have to put together a pretty complex puzzle of schedule. And now we have three stations, including an all-classical station, which you can get at 101.1 here and on HD2. So there may be some possibilities in the future. We just have to look now at our budget and try to, put that puzzle together. On what you want to do, you want to keep programming that appeals to your core audience, and also try to put some programming on that will attract some new audiences and give them a chance to grow to appreciate all the programming. So it's a little bit of a balance, but I appreciate your comments.
Yes, I'm sure it's very difficult. Money is the problem, of course. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right,
thank
very
you.
Good. Thank you. The next caller here is back here local, and it's someone in Urbana, and line number 3. Hello.
Good morning. Thanks for the chance to speak with you all. It's wonderful. I have a management issue, or of course I'm not behind the scenes, so I don't know the reasons. But I was drawn into being a fan of WILL a number of years ago when the local university YWCA was asked to handle a segment of the taking of the calls at the time of solicitation. Some of you haven't been around that long, but anyway, we as a volunteer group were asked to come in for an hour, and we were talking to friends of ours who were calling in to make their pledges. And I was terribly disturbed about a year ago, a little more, when I received an answer from an unfamiliar voice, and the unfamiliar voice didn't sound like a local friend of mine. Often they weren't local friends of mine. I didn't know them, but they sounded like, in the old days, they sounded like people I knew and or would like to know if I didn't know them already, because they were neighbors who were answering the pledge call phones. And so this woman was doing her job, which turned out to be her job. She wasn't a local friend of mine. She was somewhere yesterday when I called in with a pledge that's reduced by a considerable amount. It was a woman in California whom I spoke to. And I think it's very, very unfortunate to cut what ties you have with the community by eliminating volunteer pledge call answers.
And we had a question earlier which we did not get a chance to answer. Let me tackle that a little bit. We still use volunteer groups on our television drives, and they are augmented by what are called call centers that we use on some of the as an overflow for our pledges on TV drives and to receive the phone calls during the radio drives. It has become increasingly difficult to get the necessary numbers of volunteers for the times of days that we are fundraising, and that has been an increasing problem over last decade at least. And it reflects, I think, changes in people's work patterns and their availability and things like that. In addition, we have greatly increased concerns as a station and as the university in terms of security of information. And so we have to take a lot more steps to ensure the confidentiality of data like charge card numbers and addresses and things like that. So both of those factors have caused us to increasingly use a call center to receive membership contributions. We liked it to have the volunteers here. There was a lot more energy in the station. I think the chance to actually talk to people who believed in our service, you know, face-to-face was really energizing. And frankly, I wish we still could do that, but the reality is it's harder and harder to get the necessary number of people, because nothing worse than having pledge phones going unanswered because we don't have enough volunteers.
Well, I think it's a loss that parallels one that was earlier commented on about the handling of the weather. To me, to have someone say, which I think is part of the questioning, and of course you may know why, but is this call in support of agriculture? And so I have said, well, not necessarily. The first time it hit me so hard was that they said, well, what are your favorites? And they're not asking that question anymore. What call is this? I mean, what is your call in support of? And I said, well, David Inge and Celeste Quinn. And the voice said, well, what did you say? I mean, David Inge and Celeste Quinn are the backbone of you guys. I mean, so was Mike and the folks in Weather. I mean, if you have an emotional connection with your neighbors, which I think is what we need in this world, and our neighborhood needs to be a little wider. I have one other point. I don't want to drag this out. Other people want to talk. But when people are calling in about NPR maybe being in jeopardy, the whole thing, do they realize that people in our country who have nothing but NPR rely on it for their livelihood? People who are in remote areas, as I hate to mention the word Alaska because it brings in some other connotations nowadays, but Alaskans have no other connection at all, some of them fishing people, isolated people, other than NPR. It's their lifeline, the way post offices are our lifeline in the rural areas. So thank you for taking my call.
We need people to express that opinion to elected officials.
Well, unless you want to add something else, we can just go on.
Go to our website at will.illinois.edu and find out a lot more about the federal funding issue and how to make your voice heard, whatever your opinion is.
Well, I thank you for the comment, and we'll continue. And another Urbana caller, line two, right here. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Just add a bit of perspective for other listeners. I was at a talk just this past week about nuclear arms reduction. Now, you may ask, what does that have to do with WILL? Well, in order to get the START treaty passed, which Obama managed to do just before Christmas, which is a major feat because apparently no other Democratic president has managed to pass a nuclear arms treaty during his tenure, he had to offer $100 billion twice. That's $200 billion to build more factories to make more nuclear material for armaments, which seems to be totally against the idea of making this world safer. That's $200 billion. And it was promised to Senator Kyle, a Republican from Arizona, in order to get his vote. Hmm. Now, it's totally unnecessary, but yet this guy wanted $200 billion to be spent in places like Los Alamos. And we can't afford NPR and PBS. It seems very hypocritical, and that's one of the arguments I'm going to use when I communicate with my representatives. I also think it's good for each of us to be proselytizers for NPR and PBS. I had a young carpenter working in our house last week, and I said, "Do you want to have the radio on?" He said, "Sure." I said, "Do you mind if I put on NPR?" And he said, "Well, that's okay. I don't listen to it, but I'm sure." And as he was listening to it and working along, he said, "Gee, I learned something."
That's great. That's wonderful. Well,
and I think more of us should do that because, you know, we all know people who don't even listen to NPR, but who would be interested if they knew about it and realized what a great resource you are. To me, it's a whole extra. It's part of my lifelong learning, and although I mourn the loss of the weather, I still support you guys and appreciate the great work you're doing. And I think we all need to not only pulling up with some more money ourselves, but we also need to encourage new listeners and new supporters and to tell people that we support monetarily. I had somebody once tell me years ago that he gave a dollar a day, and that somehow much WYLL meant to him. And at that point, I was giving probably $25. I was thinking, wow, a dollar a day. Wow, that's a huge amount of money. Well, now where we are in life, it's not such a huge amount of money. And in fact, I think you're worth more than a dollar a day. And I think we should all think about whether we can up our amount and find ways to do it, spread it out, whatever. Anyway, I think we need to do some peer pressure, some peer we as supporters of WYLL, peer modeling with our friends and speak up for what we hold dear. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've said it better than any of us could say.
And I feel like we should give the number 244-9455, which is the pledge number. We are in, we're about halfway through our three-day mini drive, and we're a little over halfway to our goal, which is great.
Can I mention the 170millionamericans.org website? We've been, you know, talking about a lot of phone numbers and a lot of different websites. Mm-hmm. The reason, you know, the origin of that name is that 170 million Americans a month use public media in some form, public radio or public television. That's over half the population of the United States. And so what better descriptive identifier, address, than to show the power of and reach of public media. Now, that reach, we hope that the people, that the 170 million Americans who use public media will go to that site and understand how rapidly the funding climate could change for public broadcasting. Things are happening very fast in Congress. There are, you know, obviously tremendous financial pressures. And I think it is important that you understand what is happening and what you can do if you feel strongly, like many of our callers do, that public media and public broadcasting are important. We are urging people, and we will be doing this on air, when somebody, I think an earlier caller, was saying, why don't you use your airtime to talk about support for public broadcasting. There are limitations in terms of what we can do in terms of advocating for ourselves. However, we can tell you that if funding is jeopardized, the quickest way to let your elected officials know your opinions is by calling them. And we are urging people over this weekend and into next week to look up who your elected officials are and share your opinions with them by phone. Mail is too slow, and email, it has less impact. Phone calls have the greatest impact.
Mm-hmm. We have about 10 minutes or so left in this part of Focus. The guests here in the studio, Mark Leonard, Jay Pierce, Kate Dobrovolny, they're our managers, and we're taking comments on programs. We'll take as many as we possibly can in the time that we have left. Then we'll be getting back to today's big breaking news event, that is the resignation of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. We'll have National Public Radio news at 12:01, and then we're planning on then going back to the BBC at 12:06.
Oh, 12:06. And then at 1 o'clock at NPR News special.
We'll go to NPR. So we'll get back on this story. And for the moment here, though, we'll take some more calls. And let's see, Champagne, line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
How does the TV, in other words, the commercial TV, they receive license, right, to use those airways, right?
Correct.
Okay, but they pay, at the beginning, they pay a huge amount, you know, they bid, or it's been so long. What do they pay afterward?
They don't pay.
Well, I mean, there's something wrong with that picture, you know? I just don't understand this at all. You know, over the years, they've made billions and billions of dollars. And what I get a kick out of is that we have now on Channel 3, where, of course, they go through the power of advertising, all that kind of stuff, and no regulations, you know. And I know that the airways are, you know, the citizens, but I think something's been lost there.
They're granted the right to – they're given a license to use in the public interest. And what defines the public interest has evolved over the years. But no, they do not pay for that license itself. There's an application process. There's a finite number of them, and there are certain requirements that they need to fulfill in order to keep their license.
But nobody's really explained this, and yet what they want to do is turn around in terms of a you know, PBS, and you know, not fund it. You know, it would be nice if they took funding from the commercial stations. It would be a wonderful program, you know, that PBS could have. So. Anyway, the other comment I have is that in terms of, you know, nobody does better in terms of interviewing as David and Celeste. And on Fresh Air, the only thing that bothers me about that, and I certainly miss Celeste in the afternoon, is that, you know, I mean, she does more of an in-depth and that kind of thing. But on Fresh Air, you know, Terry, we get repackaging quite a bit. In other words, they'll put some program together, they'll put somebody else there, but she's not there. They just pay all these. So we still pay the same price, right? I would assume.
Right, right.
I mean, she's not on the air. You know, it's like David, the only time he puts one on is if, you know, some guest doesn't show or some rather, then we get an old broadcast. But, you know,
David doesn't get vacation.
I do take a day off now and again. But it's true. Mostly a lot of the times we're archives, it's an emergency fallback because the guest has fallen out. Yeah.
I mean, your schedule, and through, you know, is fairly rigorous, all of, you know. Especially back before Celeste decided to give you a hand. Out of her good...
out of the kindness of her heart, yeah.
She felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we had to get a 25% discount or some other. And in terms of interviewing, some of the programs she has are pretty good. And some, you know, she's not as prepared. I think our people ought to... We can send these people to Washington now, you know, Celeste and Dave.
Then we'd lose them.
Yeah, but I know that. You know, they'll be on... at least we can, you know, get better coverage.
Uh-huh.
That's all right.
Okay.
Well,
thank you. Well, if they made us a good offer, we'd definitely consider it.
Hey.
Let's see. So we'll keep on going unless you want to comment specifically on... You don't say anything about Fresh Air or...
No.
Or anything else. Okay.
No, he said it.
Well, we got somebody who's listening on the web, obviously, because they're in Seattle, Washington. Line 4. Hello.
Hi. I like your station better than Seattle station. So the idea of funding, you know, killing it just hurts me.
KUOW or KPLU?
KUOW.
Okay.
I'll have to find the other one. I've only been here for 10 months, so maybe there's a better station here.
KPLU is a good station, and they also run jazz there.
Oh, that's nice. But, yeah, I think you're probably still better.
You're talking about Mark's old stomping.
Yeah, Mark, yeah, that's where he came from.
Sorry. But the point of me calling is, you know, just I've never heard any talk of this, but it seems like just from the numbers, the 170 million, if 10% of those people, you know, were each willing to pony up $30, that would be the equivalent amount that's being cut. It's so sad that the government can't come up with that if that's what happens, and people should definitely call the representatives. But is there any kind of initiative? I haven't heard of it, but maybe we could start it, somebody could start it, where those people will find the money and create a different funding pool of the same amount, you know, just volunteer-wise to work in the same way. I've never heard of that, but I thought I'd spit it out there.
There have been other ideas that have been floated throughout the years, how to create a trust fund. Only maybe a year and a half ago when the talk about shrinking the spectrum and putting more of the broadcast spectrum up for auction, there was a proposal to take some of the proceeds from that and creating a trust fund. Unfortunately, none of these efforts have ever come to fruition. And we look at other models in other countries. You know, Britain always comes to mind. They charge a tax on every television set, and that's what pays for the BBC. Mm-hmm. We just in the United States, we don't have a tradition of that. We have a tradition of some core support from the federal government and membership support. And it's always a little worrisome because the governmental support is always subject to reductions or, in this case, elimination.
The only silver lining about something like that would be the worst would have happened. And if there were a solution to it, it's a shame. It sounds like there isn't one, but maybe someone's working on it right now. I hope so. Anyway, I love the station.
Oh, thanks very much for the call and for the kind words. Let's talk with next somebody a little closer to home here, Decatur. Line number 2. Hello.
Yep, good morning.
Hi.
I have already called my congressman. I'm getting tired of watching military overflights to sporting games and so forth. So I called Bobby Schilling, representative of the 17th Congressional District, and I asked him, how much do these overflights cost per hour? $43,916 an hour for a military overflight to fly over the Rose Bowl parade times I don't know how many hours it took them to fly from Missouri.
Wow.
You pile that on top of the Blue Angel team, which is 6 airplanes times how many millions of dollars per airplane, whatever. I'm going to hammer on these guys, and I'm going to say, okay, you justify taking NPR and PBS off, and you're going to spend money for that? No way. And so people need to call their congressman and start cutting these stupid, frivolous charade games, or you know, these flyovers. It's just fun and games and show. It's not inspirational. It doesn't really do anything other than entertain people who happen to be down watching that stuff. Second comment would be on the fresh air. I don't like fresh air. I think it's just a stale, pretty much rehash of old stuff. I'd like to see you guys put Democracy Now on. That's where I get all my news. I listen to BBC, but I also listen to your sister station in Champaign and pick up Democracy Now. And I think you could drop Fresh Air and switch over to Democracy Now, and you'd serve your listeners by increasing the real in-depth news that you get from Democracy Now. So I'll listen to your comments. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, one of the reasons we haven't really considered carrying it is because it is on WEFT. I mean, it's already in the market. So, and I've talked to Amy Goodman about this too. And basically it's, and she agrees, and she fundraises for us, you know, on Bob McChesney's show, and totally agrees that it's already on. So to duplicate that would take another hour of something else that we could be offering. And so that's, you know.
There's more good programs than there are airtime.
Yeah, and so Democracy Now! Is here in the market, and if it wasn't, that might be another consideration.
All right. We're getting really short on time. I'd like to see if maybe we can get one more call, and that's Champagne. Next in line will be Champagne Line 3. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. I have a couple of comments. First, I want to say that I do like WILL a great deal. I support public radio in general and WILL in particular. I enjoy its non-commercial format. But I have a couple of specific gripes regarding WILL. I think you guys should really produce some local programming about local politics and community issues. You know, you do have the week of Illinois, the Springfield show once a week about
State Week in Review.
Right, that one. But it's really not enough. I mean, you can produce a show dealing with local politics and community issues, both at the state and the local level, people who are, you know, members of the legislature, various state agencies, school boards, MTD, what have you. And, this State Week in Review is certainly not enough for me to find out what's going on, with our legislature and with various other, things. And another thing I think that you should do, at least, a certain amount, is university-oriented programming. You are a university host station, but, apart from, the fact that you acknowledge it, once every hour or something like that, that you broadcast from the University of Illinois, one can't really, tell that. And there are a great many issues, concerning the university relations between the University of Illinois and the community, which I think, could be, which you should address in some kind of program which would benefit both the university community and the Champaign-Urbana community. They would learn much more about each other. It would improve relations, and it would attract new viewers for you.
Yeah, I appreciate the comments. We're real short on time here, so what I need to do is jump in and see if you want to talk about it.
I'd give a quick answer, and we are thinking about a more local public affairs show that deals with politics and stuff, in addition to what we already do on Focus. And the same thing with the university. I think we do quite a bit on Focus already. And the Afternoon Magazine, excuse me.
Well, you also had President Hogan on television.
And we have
television.
Started. And we've started every 3 months. President Hogan and or members of the administration will be on and be accessible in a call-in format. And we're also looking at expanding programming. I'm working with a couple of people right now to highlight some of the research that's going on the campus, especially scientific research. And so stay tuned. We're working on those.
We're going to have to stop there. I'm sorry, one more person we can't take. If you want to call in off the air and talk to somebody, you certainly can do that. And to any time, you can send us an email, send us a conventional mail. We certainly want to know what you think of the programming. And maybe a couple months down the road, we'll have you all back and we'll do it again. Hey, thanks very much.
Thanks, David.
We are completely out of time here on Focus, we want one more time to encourage people who are listening who like this show and other things that you hear on the stations to make a financial pledge and help pay part of the bills. 40% of the funding for the programming that we do here comes from listeners, and you can be a part of it by giving us a call or going online. So 244-9455 is the number to call. You can go to willpledge.org and make a pledge. And Jack Brighton is here in the studio with me, producer emeritus of Focus.
Thank you.
And currently oversees our web operations.
That's right. Thank you, David. And by the way, all the Focus shows you hear live are also archived on the website. So I want to remind people that you can go back and catch what you might have missed. Lots more there, thousands of archives. But basically, I'm just here to say that our goal for this three-day drive is to hear from at least 300 listeners like you. We're just about over 150, so we're halfway there. We need you to help us take us closer to that 300. When you make your contribution now by calling 217-244-9455 or making a gift online at willpledge.org, you'll be doing two great things. You'll be supporting the radio programs you tune in for every day on WILL, and you'll be helping to feed the hungry. Every pledge to WILL also means that the Common Ground Food Co-op will donate 6 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So we need you to respond this moment by calling 217-244-9455 with your contribution or go online to willpledge.org.
Okay. Well, that's going to be it for us here on Focus. We have had to rearrange our programming a little bit this morning so that we can bring you continuing coverage of the big breaking news event today. That is the resignation of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. The plan is that we will be getting you a market update here. We'll have some news from National Public Radio. We will be going to the BBC, and then I believe that also then we'll be getting to NPR. And I think that we're expecting that sometime this afternoon that President Obama will have a comment on the developments in Egypt. So we want you to stay tuned here to WILL throughout the day, and we'll stay on top of this story.